And because we're in the world, we have to live differently from the world. And what the world does, a lot of times we think, well, it's okay if the world's doing it. It's okay for us as Christians to do it. Israel is going through, taking names, and they're just killing it. They're going through, and they're taking care of God's work that God had given them to do, to clear out that land so that it may be their possession. He wasn't doing it because he didn't like those people. He was doing it because those people had become so evil that they had got to the point that there was nothing that they could do to redeem themselves. So God wanted them to come through and clear out the land. He was going to give it to the Israelites, and he gave them specific commands and ways to do this. And then the Gibeonites, they're right next to the Perizzites. For those of you who want to pay attention to your Bible, the Gibeonites came in and they wanted to make a treaty, so they came up with this idea of this ruse, as the NIV says. And they packed their old clothes, they put on torn jeans, they put on worn out shoes, you know, like some of you come to church. And they showed up with old bread and broken wineskins and let Joshua believe that he was talking to people from a long way away. And Joshua did due diligence. He tasted their wares. He talked to them. He did all that. But if you look at your sermon notes at the scripture that was read to you, I want you to see this in verse 14. It says, the Israelites sampled their provisions and underlined these words, but did not inquire of the Lord. You see, you can do everything right, but Joshua forgot to inquire of the Lord. And Joshua was a victor. He was really a victor because he did everything right. But you know what he did is he messed up here because he did not inquire of the Lord. And then it goes on to say in verse 15, then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by an oath. Now I want you to write beside that oath, in the name of the Lord. They did all of this in the name of the Lord. Because what was going on here is they were wanting to be protected from the Israelites. So they came and they did this sneaky thing and basically tricked the Israelites into thinking they were from a long way away. But here's where the problem comes. Joshua made a promise to them in the name of the Lord. Now, if you'll open up your sermon notes, I want to ask you this question. Because when I read the scriptures, when I look into God's word, the very first thing I do is I put myself in the situation. I don't read it as it's a story about somebody else and what they did. I read it as how would I react to this? And look at what it says in verse 16. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors living near them. 3 days later, they realized they had been tricked. Now, my first thought when I read this was, they came to me with false pretenses, so I don't have to honor my word. Right? Isn't that what most of us think? I don't have to honor my word here because they lied to me. As a matter of fact, I got to thinking about it. When my brothers and I would fight when I was a kid, and my mom would say, well, why did you hit your brother? I would always say something, because he hit me first. You ever do that? And you know, when we're in an argument with somebody and they say, well, why are you yelling at him? Well, he yelled at me first. You see, when we find out that we've been tricked, when we find out that we've been wrong, most of the time our reaction is to eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, an arm for an arm, a lie for a lie. a slap for a slap. Amen. Joshua 9, 18 through 21. But the Israelites did not attack them because the leaders of the assembly had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. The whole assembly grumbled against their leaders. But all the leaders answered, "We have given them our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now. This is what we will do to them. We will let them live so that God's wrath will not fall on us for breaking the oath we swore to them." They continued, "Let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers in the service of the whole assembly." So the leader's promise to them was kept. That's pretty big right there. Okay, they messed with us, they lied to us, they fooled us, we made this oath. We know God wants us to keep our word. We're going to keep our word here. We're going to make them woodcutters. We're going to make them carry our water for us. In other words, we're going to have a whole town of water boys. That's what it's going to be. We're going to have a whole town of them, so we don't have to go to the well. We don't have to go to the river anymore. We just have them bring it to us. And with that many people, that's a lot of work. So they got this figured out. But you see, all of a sudden, the whole area is in an uproar because the Israelites are in town. And they have conquered Jericho. They have conquered Ai. All of these amazing things that are happening. And people are starting to get fearful. And what they've started to do is they've started to band together. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my enemy or my friend. And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So all of a sudden these places start coming together and they start bringing their forces together. They're going to attack the Israelites, but they decide what they're going to do is they're going to attack the Gibeonites first. It says the Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us because of the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us." Now, right there, when I read that, I thought, well, you're getting what you deserve. You lied. You came in here and deceived us. It's time for you to get what you deserve. But here's what Joshua did. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal, and I want you to underline these words, with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." As they fled before Israel on the road down to Beth Horon and Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from hail than were killed by the sword of the Israelites. Now, if you want to read on in this story right here, there's something very interesting that happens where Joshua asked the sun to stand still. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nations avenged itself on its enemies. As it's written in the book of Jasher, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. That is an awesome story. Amen. But don't get caught up in the fact that the sun stood still. Because what we do in our Bible classes is we spend some time on that, right? We talk about how God just stopped everything. As a matter of fact, there is this email that goes out every year. I see it about every year where NASA scientists have been able to figure out that there is a missing day. Well, guess what? That's hogwash. That doesn't even make sense. NASA has never figured anything like that out. As a matter of fact, NASA is just now getting off the earth. But we get so caught up in those kinds of things. I mean, I remember when I read that for the first time, I got that email, and I got so excited. Oh, yes, God is good. He's let us prove that there was a day, that the sun stood still for a day, and then just to find out that it never happened. You see, sometimes we get in such a hurry to help God out that we end up hurting God. Because when you tell somebody something that's not true, just because you read it on the internet, and they come back and they find out that it's not true, everything else you tell them is suspect. So be careful when you see those kinds of things. If you get caught up in that part of the story, you've got caught up in the wrong thing. So here's what I want you to think about. Should I keep my promises when I have been lied to? Should I keep my promises when I've been lied to? Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute, because we who are Christians, we who are set up on a hill, we who are a light that's not hid under a bush, we live differently than the world, amen? However, we are in the world, amen? And because we're in the world, we have to live differently from the world. And what the world does, a lot of times we think, well, it's okay if the world's doing it, it's okay for us as Christians to do it. But we need to realize that our word and how we live our life is critical to success, the success of the gospel. We've got to realize that. Look at what Psalms 15, verses 1 through 5. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who can come before your throne? Who may live on your holy mountain? Who can be a part of your family? Who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord? Who keeps an oath even when it hurts? Who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind? Whoever does these things will never be shaken. I want you to underline those words. They will never be shaken. Because walking through this life, having the faith that we need to have to get through this life, to get to heaven, we need to live such lives that God will make sure that we will never be shaken. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7 says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Now, I know in this big of a crowd, some of you grew up like me, and you were never allowed to say gosh. I mean, you couldn't say gosh. You just never said that. And the reason why you didn't say that is because your parents and my parents were concerned that you might slip and take the Lord's name in vain. And for a lot of us, taking the Lord's name in vain was cussing. And I don't mean to make light of that at all. What I'm trying to get across to you is taking the Lord's name in vain is so much more than misusing his name. You see, when you claim to be a people of God and you live differently than a people of God, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. It has nothing to do with your speech and saying gosh darn or whatever it is that you would say. As a matter of fact, I remember getting in so much trouble one day because I hit my thumb in front of my mother and I went with a G. And she was so concerned about me taking the Lord's name in vain. But here's where we take the Lord's name in vain every single day, is when we say we're a Christian and we don't keep our word. When we say we're a Christian and we act like the rest of the world. When we say we're a Christian, when we say we're part of God's family, but we live like the world. In 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 1, during the reign of David, it says there was a famine for 3 successive years. So David sought the face of the Lord. The Lord said, "It is on account of Saul and his blood-stained house. It is because he put the Gibeonites to death." When you make an oath to the Lord, it means something. Now, how do I make good decisions? That's what this is really all about. How am I going to make good decisions? And you've heard it when you were younger. Stop, look, and listen. Probably you heard that when you were getting ready to cross the street. You need to stop, and then you need to look, and then you need to listen. I remember that lesson when I was in kindergarten because I was always running out in the street. But the thing of it is there's good ways to make a decision. The first one is stop, and I would say sleep on it. Stop and sleep on it. Proverbs 19, 2 and 3, desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will the hasty feet miss the way? A person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord. You see, a lot of times we make bad decisions, we get in a hurry and we do something and we get mad at God, don't we? God, how could you let this happen? And we need to stop and we need to sleep on it. I was listening to Dave Ramsey, I believe, and he was talking about this couple that had a struggle with impulsive buying. Because they'd see something, they'd see it was on sale and they had to have it. So they would use their credit cards and they kept maxing out their credit cards. They'd pay them down and they'd max them out. So one of the things he suggested they do is to take the credit card and put it in the freezer in a cup of ice. And I thought, well, that is the craziest thing I've ever seen. That's called freezing your credit. Literally. But they put it in a block of ice, and when they wanted to use that credit card, they had to take it out of the freezer and let it melt until they could get to the credit card. But I thought about this, because some of you are just as sneaky as I am. Put that thing in the microwave. And guess what happens? The card melts. So you just put it in hot water and let it melt quickly. But my point being is so many of us, we get in a hurry to make a decision to do something and we don't spend time thinking it through. It is an impulse move. I know you know this. You have to know this. When you check out at the grocery store, they have things on each side before you get to where you're going to pay. And it's full of candy. And generally stuff that I really, really like that I don't need. Or it's got magazines with these salacious covers on them. Things that I shouldn't be reading or looking at. And they do that because they want you to spend your money impulsively. So the first thing, if you want to make a good decision, is stop and sleep on it. The second thing is look, get the facts. Get the facts. And I love these two verses I've got in here. First one, there's a way that appears to be right, but the end leads to death. But the second one's even better. The way of fools seem right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Now, right out beside that, I want you to write these words. What am I assuming in any situation? What am I assuming? Because when you're making a decision, you make a lot of your decisions on assumptions. And you need to write down when you're making a decision, what am I assuming here? Because if you're assuming a lot of things, it's probably a bad decision. And what you really need to do is get some wise counsel sometimes. And this is what we all do. You know, if Jason wants to go and buy a new car, he's going to hang out with somebody that likes the same cars that he wants. If Jason wants to do certain things, he's going to hang out with the people that wants to do the things that he wants. And if you want to change your life, you've got to change your friends. So that means you hang out with somebody that's successful. I've told you this before, and you guys aren't doing it yet, but you make within $10,000 of the five closest people you hang out with. I hang out with five millionaires right now. It's not doing me any good, but it will one day, okay? But the thing of it is you hang out with the people you want to be like, not the people that are like you. And you need to get that wisdom. Number three, listen. That means talk to God and listen to Him. It says, they sampled their provisions but did not inquire of the Lord. Now, there are some decisions that you don't really need to inquire of the Lord. Now, I know some of you are super spiritual, and when you go to the grocery store, you pray to God, God, help me find the perfect parking space. And that's okay if that's what you want to do. But there are some decisions that are major decisions that you really need to pray about and you need to talk to God about. I don't pray for a parking space. I don't pray for God to not let it rain on me. But I pray for the important things in my life, and I listen to what God has to say about it. I am struggling so much now. It is because of the fact that I am fighting against what Neil wants versus what God wants. It's not sin that I struggle with. I struggle with what God wants from me versus what Neil wants from me. You see, I would love to just kick back and just not do anything and travel the world and let Nancy wait on me hand and foot. Like that's going to ever happen. But I would love all that because that's what Neil wants. But you know what? I've been praying and I've been listening to God and I know what God wants from me. And that's where the hard part is. But look at what it says in Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight. So, here's some practical advice. I don't want you to leave here this morning and say, Neil gave us a great sermon without any practical advice. Number one, the little stuff matters. The little stuff matters. I mean, when you're talking to people, the little stuff matters. Every relationship is built on trust. If you have a relationship with anybody, it's built on trust. And if that relationship is good, it's because the trust is good. If that relationship is shaky, it's because the trust is shaky. Teenagers, listen to this. You want to have a good relationship with your parents? Make sure they trust you. Parents, you want to have a good relationship with your kids? Farm them out for a while. Send them away. They'll come back. They'll trust you more. I love Dobson when he said, here's how you raise a teenager. You take a teenager and you put them in a barrel and you put a hole in it so you can feed it. And when they get to be 18, you plug the hole. I got all these teenagers up here going, no, stop it. Don't give my parents ideas. The little stuff matters. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. I have a problem because I like to make people happy. I really do. I love to make people happy. I love it when I can do something for people. I love it when people want to come hang out with me and things like that. But one of the things that I have learned is I have to be very careful about saying yes to everything. Because I can't do everything. And I want my yes to be yes and my no to be no, because every relationship I have, I want it to be a good one. Letter B, if it's a commitment, if a commitment has conditions, spell them out. If the commitment has conditions, spell them out. Make sure you understand what you're getting into. I love this in Matthew chapter 23, verses 16 through 22. This doesn't get preached on a lot because a lot of preachers struggle with this. Woe to you blind guides. He's talking about the Pharisees. If anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing, but anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by the oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. Anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and the one who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Does this not remind you of when you were in high school and somebody said, you promise? And you put your fingers behind your back, cross your fingers. I didn't do it. And then there was a lot of stuff went on there. You swear? Yeah, well, you got a pinky swear. What does that mean? And then, you know, I'm not lying. You know, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Or how about stick a needle in my eye? What does that mean? If I'm lying, stick a needle in my eye. None of that makes sense. What Jesus is saying here is we got to quit doing that. When we put our hand on the Bible and swear something in a court of law, it's supposed to mean something. Amen? But as a Christian, we don't even have to have the Bible. Because everything we say that we're telling the truth about should come out of our mouth. And teenagers, let me say this to you. When you lie, it is so hard to keep track of. It's so much easier to just tell the truth. They're over here shaking their head. Yeah, I know. I got caught the other day. Tell the truth. Be trustworthy. Number or letter C, two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs don't make a right. I was talking to my good buddy yesterday morning. We were having breakfast. And as we were having breakfast, he was telling me about somebody that had wronged him and his family and how he was struggling with that because he and I are a lot alike. We want to settle things the manly way. And I have had so many people in my life that have misused me and misused my trust and done things to me. And I looked at him and I could say with all confidence, stay on course. Don't settle it your way. Let God take care of it. Because every time I let it go, God has blessed me more than anything anybody has taken from me. Two wrongs don't make a right. Letter D, integrity is costly, but it's well worth it in the long run. Integrity is costly, but it's well worth it in the long run. Psalms 15, verse 4, but honor those who fear the Lord, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts. One of the things that I want to see happen in this church, that I see happening every week, but I would like to see it happen with everybody. When we worship, I know I don't get to see all of you because my head can only swivel so much without being obvious. But Monty mentioned being up here and looking out and seeing everyone. But I kind of turn to the side and I look to see who's here. I look to see who's singing. I look to see who may be, you know, on their phone playing Tetris or whatever it is you play. I look and see if somebody's seems downcast. I look and see if somebody seems happy. I look at all that because as I'm looking at all that, I am praying over this congregation. Because when I get up here to preach, I want you to know that you've been prayed for today. And you've been prayed for by somebody that loves you dearly. And when I see people that are here for the first time, I look and I'm so excited because somebody's news come in and God's brought somebody else into my life, I hope, and we can have this bond together. I'm looking at all of that. And as I'm finishing my prayer and I'm going back to my worship, I always say the same thing to God. God, don't let these people leave here the same way they came in. Life is hard. You're going to go out into that world and you're going to be tempted. You're going to have people pull out in front of you. And by the way, Mike Stone has never been with me when I got a ticket. Just want you to know that up front. But you're going to have some difficulties. It may be health things that are going on. It may be heartaches that are going on. It may be relationships that are getting broken. It may be your finances. I don't know what it is. But when you come in here, you should worship a mighty God. And if you leave here and you haven't worshiped, you're going to leave here the same way you came in. And I want so much for us to all be together in heaven. I know the temptations that are out there. I know the distractions that are out there. I know the hurt that we feel constantly from broken relationships and living in a broken world. And the only way for you to get through this life is to have Christian friends and Christian brothers and sisters and worship the God Almighty. Because if you've worshiped today, you will leave here differently than when you came in. But if you came in and you don't leave differently, you might as well go to a ball game and enjoy that for an hour. We sing this invitation song to give you a chance to make your life right with God. If you're here today and you feel like there's a public thing that you need prayers for or repentance of, or if you're here today and you just want to be buried with Christ in baptism, whatever it is, if you need to respond in a public way, you can come down front and we will pray for you. Or if you need to respond in a private way, as we sing this song, make your life right with God. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.